He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
There's a song, a Christmas song that's banned in our house. You probably know, there are probably more than one Christmas song that's banned in my house, frankly. But anyway, this one is the one that says, "Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty and nice. So be good for goodness sake." I'm sure you know the one. But we're not about to start classifying children into good and bad, naughty and nice. And we're certainly not going to hold the threat of withdrawal of Christmas presents as some sort of discipline measure, one we'd probably never follow through anyway. But we love to classify people, don't we? We make lists, either in our minds or probably only in our minds, to be honest, the people who we like or don't like, people we approve of or disapprove of, people we agree with or disagree with, conservative or Labour, Republican or Democrat, tolerant or intolerant, as we define those terms, of course, real Christians or pretend Christians, beautiful or not, successful or not. We could go on and on making lists. We'd probably make lists that we would approve of and lists that we wouldn't approve of. And in our readings this morning, we seem to have good lists and naughty lists. Then we, blessed are these people, but woe to these people. A few weeks ago, I asked you to think about where you would put yourself in the reading. Maybe we can ask that here too. Where would you put yourself on Jesus' lists? Somehow, I suspect we always formulate the list settings so that we end up on the good list and not the other one. The A list and not the B list. But let's have a look, see if we can understand a bit better what's going on here. As I always say, this passage in Luke comes with a context. And you might have noticed right at the beginning, it started with the words, "He went down with them." Who's the them? We should be asking at that point. And get jumping back. Just before this, if you look back, if you've got the Bible open, you'll see that Jesus has chosen his particular team of 12 apostles. He's chosen them from among his followers, among his disciples. So those apostles, those particular 12 that we're given the list of names of there, those are the them that Jesus came down with to this level place. But there was also a great crowd of disciples. And then there was a multitude of people from all over the place. And Luke tells us that Jesus looked up at his disciples and started speaking. And we might read that and immediately start making lists. He's got 12 apostles, that's a subset of the disciples. So we could list all of those. And everyone else is outside that group in the multitude. But I don't think that's what's going on here. I think Luke is just painting us a picture of the sort of people that are there. A picture of the mix of people who are around Jesus. There are some who have at this point been chosen for a particular purpose, though Luke hasn't really told us what that is yet. There's a wider group of people who are seeking to follow Jesus, his disciples. And there are others who've heard that there's something going on. They've heard about all these healings and this man who's going around doing something exciting. And they're there as well. And maybe there's not a clear distinction between these groups, even in the minds of the people themselves. And I don't think we're supposed to think that when Jesus starts talking, only the disciples can hear. That doesn't really make sense. Maybe that's like I was thinking, maybe that's like when we come together on a Sunday morning. Maybe we've got a mix of people here. Maybe there are some who have specific responsibilities, either generally at the Good Shepherd or for this morning in particular. Some of us are actively seeking to follow Jesus, to be the followers, to be disciples. Sometimes that's harder than others, but that's what we're trying to do. Maybe others are here because your family is here. Because who knows quite why you're here, but it's good that we're here together and it's lovely to see everybody. And I don't say this to classify us, to put us onto lists, but just to understand the mix of people who are here. We're all welcome. We're all welcome to hear what Jesus was saying then and what Jesus is saying now. So what was Jesus saying then? And what might any of us hear him saying now? Jesus gives us two lists. Four, blessed are you. Four, woe to you. And they clearly run in parallel. Poor and rich, hungry and well fed, weeping and laughing, hated and excluded, or well spoken of. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The places where what God wants to happen is actually happening. That's my go-to definition of the kingdom of God. But this is what Jesus repeatedly talks about in the gospel stories. He talks of bringing in the kingdom, of welcoming people into the kingdom, and here of his followers having the kingdom of God. So is being poor relating to actual physical poverty? Or is it a reference to some kind of spiritual poverty? Being poor and being pious were often linked in the Bible, in the Bible's way of thinking, so maybe it's a bit of both. Blessed are you who are poor, Jesus says. Jesus is directly addressing his disciples, and if you look back to the previous chapter again, where Jesus is calling his disciples, it says several times, they left everything to follow Jesus. So they had made a spiritual decision with practical consequences, and they were poor. If Jesus' disciples were poor, maybe we imagine him raising his eyes to the wider group around when he said, but woe to you who are rich. Although maybe the distinction between the two groups is not absolutely clear. Maybe the crowd was listening with bated breath to hear whether their group would end up on Jesus' A-list or B-list. Maybe it's worse than a B-list, actually. Maybe it's another letter. Anyway, blessed are you who are poor, who hunger, who weep. When people hate you, you will be filled and laugh and be like the prophets of old. Your reward is in heaven. Not will be in heaven, but is in heaven. Heaven is not some future place where we might hope to go to when we die. But it's God's domain now. And wherever Jesus goes, bringing in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, heaven is breaking in on earth. So we so often pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we'll pray later on this morning, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This turning of the tables for those who are poor, hungry, and mourning is consistent with what Jesus has declared a couple of chapters ago. In the synagogue in Nazareth. Good news for the poor, release for the captives, the time of the Lord's favor. And this way of talking, this contrast, is not a new way of talking. It's not something Jesus created. We heard in Psalm 1, didn't we? The writer saying, blessed is the one who follows the way of the Lord, not so the wicked. This beatitude way of talking, blessed are you, woe to you, is common through prophets, through Proverbs. Proverbs in the Bible constantly sets up these contrasting pairs. And so Jesus comes to his other list. Woe to you who are rich, well-fed, laughing, and who get lots of positive social media reviews. And what's wrong with that, we might ask? Jesus relied on rich people to support his ministry. He fed people and enjoyed being in good company. He wanted people to hear his word and follow him. There are lots of ways of understanding Jesus' words here, but I think we can at least say this. Jesus is bringing the challenge. Where is your trust? What do you rely on? Woe to you who are rich, not because you are rich, but because you've taken comfort in being rich. Blessed are you who are poor, not because you are poor, but because it's a sign that you've left everything, metaphorically, if not literally, to follow me. It's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said elsewhere, because of the temptation to trust your riches, which is ultimately trusting yourself instead of trusting God. When we should be acknowledging God as the source of everything we possess and putting it at God's disposal. Even as I say this, I have to be careful to be addressing myself, not anyone else. The only person qualified to say, blessed are you, woe to you, is Jesus. My role here is simply to listen to Jesus myself and encourage you to do the same. It's all too easy, isn't it, to look at other people and put them on one list or another. You're blessed, but woe to you. Jesus continues his teaching through Luke 7 by turning our expectations upside down. We're not to put our enemies on a list, we are to love our enemies and pray for them. We're not to judge others, we're to take the plank out of our own eye before worrying about the speck in somebody else's. We don't get to play God to decide who is blessed and who is woeful. As a theologian, I like to read called Scott McKnight, and he made some helpful comments on this passage, which I have to say I've kind of drawn on this morning. And he points the words of a quote from a book by an author called Anne Lamott. And the quote is this: you can safely assume that you've created God in your own image, when it turns out that God hates all the same people that you do. Jesus doesn't call us to chase after poverty, but to follow him. This is the life of the kingdom. We're called to love God and love others as you love yourself, to care for the imprisoned and suffering, and to do what Jesus did, to take good news to the poor, release captives, give sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free. Announce the economic justice of God's kingdom. Scott McKnight suggests turning that quote around and says in this way: you can safely assume that God is recreating you in his image when you love the ones that God loves. We don't get to decide who is on which list, nor does Santa Claus. God knows. Listen again to Jesus' lists, rearranged to make us think. What's God saying to us this morning? Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort, but blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Woe to you who are fed now, for you will go hungry, but blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, says Jesus, for great is your reward in heaven. As Jesus' ministry shows, It's not that God is unconcerned with our circumstances, whether we are poor, hungry, weeping. But Jesus' call is to trust and follow him. As we're so often charged at the end of our services, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.